Welcome to Inside the Newsroom, the Sentinel Records weekly podcast from the Razorback Campers Health Studio that takes a closer look at news and sports in Garland County. The Big Steam Music Festival will be held in Hill Wheatley Plaza September 23rd and 24th with Bernard Allison and Anthony Gomes as the headlining artists for the event. Allison, who is the son of the late blues guitarist Luther Allison, will be the headlining act on September 24th. Allison's latest album, Highs and Lows, was released in February, featuring the title song that he wrote in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. With us to talk about his return to the Spa City and his music is Bernard Allison. To start off with, you know, I know about you, I know about your dad, you know, I love listening to both of y'all, but tell me a little bit about how you got involved in playing the guitar and playing the blues.
Well, basically, as a kid, I had an older brother that was actually trying to play guitar, and he decided he didn't want to play. It hurt his fingers, you know, so he left the guitar for me, and I just started, you know, listening to my dad's recordings and, you know, slowing them down, just picking out the notes. So that's where I actually started. And I actually played guitar for close to 3 years before I even told my dad that I was playing. I just kind of kept it hush hush because I wanted to be able to play something in full for him, which was his very first recording called Underground. So I learned all of that, and then I let him know. Okay, well, I didn't let him know. He actually caught me playing in the basement, and he had woke up early, and I knew I didn't have enough time to put the guitar and amp away. So he was like, oh, wow, you're playing guitar. He said, but you just didn't start playing guitar now, not playing like the way you are. And that's when I pretty much said, okay, yeah, I've been learning for about 3 years trying to figure out the instrument.
So what about the blues in general? What kind of drew you to that? I mean, what was it, mostly just because of your dad and listening to him and growing up around that kind of music most of your young life?
Yes, pretty much. You know, our household was always full of musicians and, you know, a lot of the creators, you know, from, you know, Tyrone Davis to Coco Taylor, Otis Rush, always someone was there. And as I got older, you know, I started to realize, I'm like, wow, these are actually some of the creators of the form of the music, you know, as well as being close friends with my dad and my family.
And, you know, I know you're coming to Hot Springs to play, you know, later this month. How often do you get to come play in Arkansas? I know your dad was born here. Right. You know, I know you were born in Chicago, I think.
Yes, sir. So
how often do you get to come here to Arkansas and play?
Back in when I first moved back from Europe, we used to come down quite often, down in Hot Springs. And, you know, I did Little Rock, Fort Smith quite often. But since, you know, I'd say almost the last 10 to 12 years, you know, we're strict pretty much a dominant European touring act. So I pretty much only play in the States during the summer festival period and kind of just restrict most of my heavy touring to Europe since we've already established that. So, you know, it's kind of like with the pandemic right now, what we're doing is doing a lot of makeup shows. All my shows so far have been makeup shows and just trying to get back on track of things. But I know my agency and our intentions for next summer is to spend a little bit more time here in the States and try to tackle some of the areas that we haven't been able to get to.
Yeah. How has the pandemic affected the way that, you know, things have gone? I mean, obviously you couldn't do many shows or any, you know, back, you know, in the height of all this early 2020, but I mean, how has that affected, and when did you start getting back into the groove of things?
We just really started. I accepted the fact that what was going on. Okay, we played it really safe, and I just thought it was a little bit more important for me to get my new record out, make sure we had the proper time to make a nice, decent record, and then I wasn't really worried about the dates per se. So I chose to do only 8 festivals this, since it all started back up. And now I'm on my last two, which is next weekend in Davenport, and then our last show would be down in Arkansas with you guys. And then we head off to Europe for like 5 weeks to start back in Europe. So yeah, I just really played it safe. I knew things wasn't back to normal, and I knew our time would come. So now we're ready to go, and hopefully nothing else happens. You know what I'm saying? You just never know, but I just wanted to be prepared for when it does lift up and allow us to get back to doing what we love to do. So.
So who are some of the musicians that, either blues musicians or other genres that you look up to or enjoy listening to when you're, when you've got some time to yourself? I know that as a touring musician, you don't get a whole lot of time to yourself, but
Right.
do you listen to?
Growing up, I listened to the original guys from Muddy, T-Bone Walker. My idol growing up was always Albert King. So when Stevie Ray Vaughan popped out, I heard it on the radio. I'm like, wow, Albert has a new record. And they like Stevie Ray Vaughan. So it was kind of pretty easy to pick out where he had came from. And come to find out, he had been close friends with my family for years, Stevie and Jimmy both. So they both kind of took me under their wing as a teenager, like during my Coco Taylor years, and taught me a lot about the music. And because my dad was already in Europe doing his thing, and they could just kind of coach me and say, hey, we don't own any of this. You pretty much take and pick what you want, almost like making your own recipe to bake a cake. And I just really, from Johnny Winters, he sat me down, taught me how to play slide guitar. And then later on, once I moved back to the States after my dad passed away, I'm in Minneapolis, so I'm around that whole Prince funk scene, which I already grew up with funk music as a kid. And that's what I pretty much do with my group is I don't just focus on the diehard blues, what everybody expects me to play. My dad always said, play what you grew up with. You have so much music. Being the baby of nine, all my older brothers and sisters all liked a different genre of music. So I couldn't help but to, store all those different genres. And now I mix it all together to create Bernard Allison sound. And it's been working great for us because it allows me to play those, try to show people that you can use rock or funk or country or jazz and create that blues. It doesn't have to be a 12-bar blues structure. So it just widens our opportunity to not be called a blues band per se. So I've never used the title Bernard Allison Blues Band, because it often limits you to where you can play versus where you should be playing, So that's the reason I do what I do.
Yeah. I mean, that was something I was going to ask you about because, listening to your music, there is the undercurrent of blues in a lot of it. But you also, like you said, you've got some funk, you've got some rock and roll. How is it that you are able to blend all of that together and make this sound that is so iconic for you?
Like I say, like my musicians, they all come from different genres. Not one of them came from blues. What blues they do know comes from me. And I tried to tell them, I said, I like you because you're not that blues person. I got that covered. You're teaching me the other genres. I know a little bit about it, but now it's kind of let's put let's put this chemistry together and see what happens with it, which allows the musicians, you know, and my, as well as myself to expand. And it's not all about my ideas. It's a group process. I don't want to take all the credit because I shared live and recording with all of my guys. I like to have that input, which makes us even that more different because a lot of guys don't involve it or their team or labels like, okay, we just want straight a lot of guitar or this, and where I disagree with just being that guitar player. You know, I like to, I'm getting, the older I get, I'm getting more into writing good songs and lyrics and things like that. The guitar will always be there. And that's what we did with the new album is we had great songs with a good meaning. And it's still a lot of guitar, but it's not just solo, solo, solo. You know what I mean? So the listener is like, oh, wow, I can, everything is not all about the guitar. You know, there's actually some good, decent songs, you know.
Right. Where do you find influence, you know, for some of the lyrics you write? Because, you know, like you said, there it's not all, you know, even the lyrics, you know, in the blues tend to, you know, focus on the same types of things. And, you know, some of your lyrics definitely sit in that. But, you know, there's a lot more stuff going on in your lyrics than just, you know, that feel and that sound.
Yeah, it's more about everyday life, especially during the pandemic. Everybody had the time to really think. And what one thing I didn't want to do was write a pandemic song because everybody was doing it. So I kind of flipped the script and I said, hey, let's call, I got this song called Highs and Lows, which I think everybody can relate to. Everybody has their highs in life. They have their lows in life. And we kind of based it off of that and said, okay, we're not going to just focus on not being able to work. I'm going to say, I'm so excited to get back on the road again. You know, it doesn't mean that about the pandemic or not. I'm just excited to go back and do what I love to do. And just really going song to song and not thinking about a good man feeling bad. You know, the typical blues lyrics. It's, you're telling a story, you're telling your story, and that's the message I tried to bring across to people.
Inside the Newsroom is sponsored by Reiser Ford and Lincoln. On the hunt for a new truck or car, stop by 4201 Central Avenue in Hot Springs today or call 501-525-0800 today for all your truck and car needs.
Did the pandemic allow you to kind of broaden your horizons a little bit and let you kind of break free from some of the stuff that you might have been doing? Or, you know, did it affect you at all musically, or not musically, but, you know, creatively?
No, it didn't at all, because I'm always like, when I'm home, you know, I do everything myself on my recorder. I'm constantly writing stuff and, you know, putting my ideas down for the future. So before the pandemic, I still had in the can probably 75 to 80 songs. And I chose not to even use those songs because I was creating new things every day doing. I'm like, wow, this is kind of, I'm going to wait for that other stuff. This is more fresh for me. So, but yeah, I'm always playing my bass or my guitar and putting it down on multi-track. And then I'll share it with my bass player. He'll come by when he can. And I say, now, this is what I'm feeling, but I need you to put your feel to it. I'm not a bass player. You're the bass player, you know. So we're constantly creating. And that's something that my dad always told me. He said, create. Whenever you get an idea, just record bits and pieces. You can always come back later. And that's what I've done over the years.
You know, you said that you're always creating stuff. Do you tend to, you know, introduce some of that new stuff at your concerts, or do you do most of the stuff that you've got already recorded and that people know, What kinds of things can people expect to hear from you, you know, in a normal concert?
Well, I try to do some new and some old too, but I have certain songs that kind of took off for us, and I constantly get asked if I don't do it. Somebody's like, "Why didn't you do it?" So I make our show of the popular songs. Always include a couple songs of my dad, on record and live to keep his name out there. But yeah, I bring some new stuff to the table, and the thing that a lot of people say about us is you don't know what to expect when you see us, because we're having fun, and I don't make a set list. I go by the feel of the audience, and I'll turn to my guys and yell out what I want to do. So our focal point, it keeps us sharp too, rather than saying, okay, we're going to follow this order, and the order doesn't really feel right for me. So that's why I don't do it. We have enough songs and ups and downs, and I like to do the dynamic thing, not start so high, not start so low, and the show goes on with progression, and that's just what we're comfortable with doing. And our fan base, the ones that know us, they know we're going to do something out of the ordinary at some point. So you can't really label us as a blues band like I go back to, because we are doing that roller coaster thing with genres of music.
You know, doing that kind of dynamic, show instead of going with a set list, you know, obviously that makes it to where no two shows are going to be exactly alike.
Exactly.
And do you feel like the audience is able to listen to that and enjoy that better than, say, if you go in there with a set list?
I think we could go, but my main thing with not doing a set list is you're stuck in that box. It's like, okay, and festivals or it's a bit different than playing an indoor venue, because now sometimes we're running to playing two sets. So if I have an hour and a half to play, or if I have 60 minutes, I know the length of my songs then. So it makes it difficult to make that set list work for us, because we do, if we have the time, we'll stay until the lights go out, because we can keep going like that. But with a set list, you got to be really careful and say, okay, well, you got 60 minutes and every song has to be 2 minutes. Who can do a 2 minute song live? It's possible. So I prefer to highlight the songs, the diversity of the songs, different styles of blues, some rock and some ballad. And it's, for me, that's more of a show than to just go out and play all these guitar solos with no arrangement. That's very easy to do in a 12-bar setting. But we don't play a lot of 12-bar blues. So we might play one or two, and everything else is all thought out and arrangements for, my musicians to stretch out and to colorize the music and not just be me, the focal point. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure. I know that, you got to play with your dad a little bit. You said you tend to play, some of his songs when y'all have a concert. What is it like playing some of his stuff? I mean, because obviously, even though your dad was so young when he passed, he reached a lot of people, and his influence is still out there today.
Yes. And the thing is, I actually produced, I arranged all of my dad's music. I became his band leader. And when his comeback record to the States was Soul Fixer Man, and I had just got my, I was in the studio recording one of my first albums at the time. So I arranged all that music for him and told him, I said, here, take this to the recording and try these arrangements. And Jim Gaines loved it. He's like, wow, this is crazy. This is really bringing out the Luther Allison that I see live, because a lot of his earlier, the Motown years recording, they were a little bit too polished for what he wanted to do. They really tried to keep him in that straight 12-bar blues, but he was a big fan of like Otis Redding, and he really had that voice where nobody really focused on his vocals. You know, it was all about the guitar and stuff. So by me coming in and reshaping the music a little bit, I knew what he liked. I knew what would take him to that next level and give all he could give without worrying about arranging the music. I take the band to rehearsal. That was my job to do, so he can be a lot more comfortable with it. But I give him all the credit. And, you know, he loved the way I write and arrange, and as well as I vice versa. You know, but I always knew from the beginning, I was like, yeah, I want to be up there like my dad, go around the world and put smiles on people's faces and show them what the Allisons are about.
Yeah. You know, I know you said that, you know, you've got several siblings who are also involved in music. Do y'all ever get a chance to play together either, you know, just at home during the holidays or just getting together, you know, at any point, you know, maybe even getting on stage sometimes?
Very rarely, because the majority of my family's in Illinois and I'm in Minneapolis. But when I was a little younger, I actually recorded a song with all my family, my nieces, my nephews, sisters, brothers. It's called Family Affair on my Funky Vinyl album. And I wrote this song while I was living in Europe because my grandmother had passed away. So it was based around her and based around family singing it. And, you know, so all my siblings, they have this trade. They had a document, you know, so they can share it with their kids. And, you know, I'm actually the only one that pursued things professionally. And I'm actually right now, I'm the only one that's even playing blues music. Most of them are gospel or R&B or the rap. The younger ones are into the rap stuff. And I just tell them, okay, if you're going to do the rap stuff, use your history. Use me, your uncle, use your grandfather. You know, have a positive message rather than a negative message. And some of them are doing very, very well with it right now. And I just keep my fingers crossed and I support anything they do. But if I hear something negative, I will definitely let them know.
Sure. You know, and I know you've played with a lot of people and you've played a lot of different genres of music. You know, do you ever feel kind of like, you know, because of who your dad was and all, do you feel like you're kind of hamstrung to some extent to have to play blues at least a little bit?
I will always play some blues, you know, and like I say, everything I play is rooted blues, regardless of my arrangement or what taste of flavors of genres I mix with it. You could never take me away from that totally. So I feel fine because I am able to stretch out and show the youngsters, okay, you know, because a lot of the young kids that's playing blues today, they have the tendency to start very high in the chart by following Stevie Ray Vaughan, you know what I'm saying, or Eric Clapton, where I try to tell them, I said, listen to where they come from and go down the ladder rather than, because now you're starting so high, you're kind of forgetting where it all comes from. You know, Clapton don't own that. Stevie would tell you that it's not mine. You know, it's like, it's my feel, it's my idea. But if you start from the bottom up, you just widen that your whatever instrument you're playing, and you'll notice that a lot of that early on stuff is heavily influenced by gospel or funk or all those genres are there. But if you don't know it, it's kind of hard to backtrack if your mind is already set and you're only listening to a certain thing, when there's so much more out there to really understand where it all comes from.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate you taking some time to talk to me, man. I mean, I really enjoyed getting to chat with you because, you know, like I said, I really do personally love listening to your music.
Well, thank you, man. And we appreciate you guys, you know, even thinking about us to talk. And we're excited to come down to Arkansas and do what the Bernard Allison group do and have fun. And hopefully in the near future, we can come back in a little bit more often and share our family, you know, because anybody that joins us is pretty much a family for me. So we just try to expand as much as we can.
This has been an episode of Inside the Newsroom from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. New episodes are released every Thursday. Thank you for listening.